This episode of the Disney Nerds Podcast is brought to you by DVC Resale Market. DVC Resale Market has become the leader in the DVC resale industry. They have sold over $400 million in DVC Vacation Club and have over 100 years of combined direct DVC experience. If you're looking to buy or sell, DVC Resale Market wants to put their knowledge and world-class service to work for you. Contact our friend Nick Cotton over at DVC Resale Market at www.dvcresalemarket.com.
Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
A Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 425 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Hey guys, how's it going? And welcome back to the show. On this week's show, well, we've got some breaking news. Disney nerd Sam from Sam's Disney Diary was down in Walt Disney World, and he was attending the panel they had set up for the Halcyon Hotel, that new Star Wars hotel they're going to be opening up. They had a media event this week, and he got some great information yesterday that we're going to share with you tonight. Now, we had to wait until Thursday night, 11:59, Friday morning, 12:01, to release this. There was a little info embargo, but that just means there's some great stuff to listen to in here. We have heard some of it before, but there is a lot more of the details and what's going to go on your 2 days at the Halcyon. You're not going to be just flying around on a normal cruise ship. There's definitely things planned and not so planned. As you listen to this, you're going to understand that totally. Once Sam gets back, we're going to get a lot more details. But for this week, this panel is exceptional. You're definitely going to learn something new, many different things. And if you start saving now, like I am, we might get there in a couple of years. You never know. So here we go. There's a nice little big intro. You're going to hear some of the Imagineers. And then they go into more of a description, I guess, of their intros. Very descriptive things. I liked, again, hearing about how the food, the blue shrimp, the green rice, the textures, how they have one night of menus set up and the second night menu set up a different way, kind of like a cruise ship. So definitely a lot of information in that regard. Working with the characters or interacting, I guess, would be better. There's a lot about that in here, which was very cool to hear about. And hopefully it won't be awkward. You know how sometimes you are part work talking to a park character and things like that. I think hopefully once you're immersed in the Halcyon, that might not be an issue, but we'll see as it goes along. A lot of interesting stuff. I don't want to hold it up anymore. We've got about an hour for this panel. It's worth every second of it. Hang out to the end. There's a little surprise there too. Okay, guys, here we go. The Halcyon Hotel or Starship or I don't know what we're going to call this, but here we go. Take it away.
Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser Media.
Only 5 minutes.
That was a very fast 10 minutes.
That was a very fast 10 minutes.
Wow.
Well, we are really, really excited for you all to learn so much more about Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser. Our incredible panelists are waiting backstage and cannot wait to share with you all more.
So without further ado, please give them a huge round of applause, your Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser panel.
Doug Chen.
Yeah, I recognize him. I interviewed him.
Hey, Doug.
Hello.
Scott.
Everybody, how are we tonight?
Great.
We are also great. We are very excited to have you all here this evening and to have you with us tomorrow as we get prepared to launch the Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser experience. It's really the first of its kind experience that I think anyone has ever made. We'll talk more about what that is. We'll talk a little bit about what went into the making of it, and we'll talk a little bit about what's in store for tomorrow. But first I want to introduce these amazing people that I am on stage with, everybody who's helped make the Galactic Star Cruiser experience a reality. You can read their job titles, I won't say that, but Anne Marvel Johnson, Brian Pisecki, Jerome Smith, Matt Martin, Wendy Anderson, Brian Schoenberg, and Doug Chang. And I'm Scott Trowbridge. I guess the first thing we should start with is a little bit of a description about what we're talking about. What is this thing called Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser, and why is it so different? So, Anne Marvel, what is the Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser?
So, Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser is a first of its kind new vacation experience where guests get to spend 2 days and two nights living in a Star Wars story. So if you think of it as sort of a simulated cruise style model where all guests will board together on a day one, they will live out an experience over the course of the next 2 days and nights with everything from onboard activities like lightsaber training or bridge operations training. Of course, you've got all of your meals on board, and you also have a shore excursion to the planet of Batuu. But unlike a normal cruise, not everything is going to go according to plan, because of course it is Star Wars. And so also on board, there are a whole host of characters, all of whom need your help. And depending on how you choose to play and engage, you will get wrapped up in a story and actually continue on your own adventure, living out your own Star Wars story over the course of those 2 days and two nights. Think about it as sort of part cruise, you know, part immersive theater, part live action gameplay, part just two-day story that you get to live, eat, and sleep aboard a Star Cruiser in a galaxy far, far away.
That sounds pretty exciting to me.
I'm
the same vibes, so don't, I'm biased about this. Wendy, I'd like to ask you, we've been working on this for many years now. We've actually been working on this since we launched Star Wars Galaxy's Edge.
Yeah.
We've been kind of co-developing at the same time. What does this mean to kind of bring a story to life aboard a simulated Star Cruiser?
I mean, it means a lot of fun.
I also like to say I didn't have a child when we started this, and now I have a five-year-old. It's been quite a process. So, you know, when we were developing Galaxy's Edge, at the same time we knew we were developing the Star Cruiser, we wanted these stories to intersect, and we wanted to build characters that could stand up to some of those iconic Star Wars characters that you know, and would also be characters that you could really feel like you could access, right? So who do I want to engage with? Who do I want to play with? Who do I feel like I can see myself as a part of or aspirational to? So I think so much of this experience lives in these smaller, subtler moments where these characters are existing. They're living their lives. And they're inviting you to come and play with them if you want to, right? Everything that we're doing on board the Star Cruiser is this invitation to go deeper in the story if you want to. And I think, too, the connection to Galaxy's Edge makes it so unique because, I mean, I think, you know, this is kind of unlike anything anybody's ever done before. I mean, I don't know that for sure, but I feel like it is because it's so deeply rooted in not only Star Wars canon, but also what the land means and what the guests are bringing to the table, what the passengers bring is the final element of the story and how it can allow you to choose where you want to go, choose how you want to play. Do I want to be a part of the First Order? Do I want to join the Resistance? Do I want to play in the Underworld for a little while? Everything that we've thought about has been a way for you to engage and just go a little deeper in that story.
And it's not just about the interactions with the characters, which we'll talk more about because I think that's super important. But it's also, as a luxury experience, you know, I think one of the things that makes this such a uniquely Disney offering is that combination of, I think, what we do, what we hopefully do best, which is take these, our amazing ability to create these immersive experiences with all the attention to detail and that kind of design these immersive experiences, combine that with our fan favorite stories and characters, in this case Star Wars, and then combine that with our impeccable guest service that we're known for. And Jerome, I want to ask you, because making a simulated cruise through the galaxy, a high-end cruise aboard the Halcyon, our Galactic Star Cruiser, what is that like? What does that mean to bring that level of service and attention to the guest on an experience like this? Because it's never been done like this before.
That is correct. I would say Scott is really special. It's special that we were able to hire great people. And all they had to do was just be great. And in that, we trained to the standards. As Shangri-La Starline has a legacy of over 275 years. At the core of it, at the heart of our crew, is just hospitality. So just taking care and facilitating the needs of our passengers, wherever they want us to meet them at, we'll meet them there.
And Drew, the thing I love about what you just said is, you know, Shangri-La Starline has over 275 years. Shangri-La Starline is our in-story cruise operator, but our passenger services and the crew aboard has just taken upon themselves to live that Star Wars story alongside our passengers, right? And own the story alongside all of the service that we're creating. It's really cool.
Yeah, so being able to extend that story while delivering that impeccable service is really something that I think is amazing. And I can't wait for our guests to experience. So another thing that I think cruise experience is known for is the fantastic food. Chef Brian, we've been working together on these offerings, what's going to be available aboard the Star Cruiser for a few years now, actually.
Yeah.
What can you tell us about the dining experiences, the food and beverage experiences?
Well, it's been an incredible journey to work with everyone up here. It's really, really been amazing. But we're going to offer this really unique, customizable food and beverage experience that will take you from a bit of a buffet dining operation for breakfast and lunch to two very distinctive dinner operations. So you can see some of the great images here with all the food is very customizable. We really played in story with all of the rich storytelling, the history of the planets, the history of the ship, and what the voyage really is. So the food plays a pretty integral part of the story.
It's really also so, oh, by the way, this is one of my favorites.
It's so good.
Yeah, this is one. The grilled cheese and tomato soup dipper is really best.
Yeah, so everything looks a little bit different. So, you know, as we went into development, we thought, well, here's our opportunity to really give our guests, our passengers, something that tastes familiar, but maybe it looks a little bit different, right? So what a great opportunity to just try something new or look at something and go, I've never had a grilled cheese sandwich that looks like that before, but let me give it a try. And it's pretty darn good.
Yeah, I think one of my favorite moments from the food and beverage tasting was when you handed me a sandwich that was spherical. And just the idea that even something as simple as a sandwich could be so unexpected, and, you know, Star Wars, we all kind of owned those stories.
So we talk about this simulated cruise, and that there's not been anything like this before. And I guess my question would be, I believe that to be true. Like Wendy, I don't know everything that every person has ever done in the world, but I don't believe anyone has ever created something like this before. And I guess my question is, what makes this different? Wendy, I'll ask you, what in your mind, what makes this different from anything anyone's ever done before?
There are quite a few things. I mean, I think the bubble waffle cheese sandwich is one of them. But there, this intersection of immersive theater and gaming and, you know, if you choose to cosplay, the opportunity and the agency that we're giving our guests and our passengers with each interaction, I don't believe anybody could have the same experience on this voyage twice, right? Because depends on what time of day you interact with a person that you could have a different experience. You could be sent a different message. The data pad plays so keenly into this, the Star Wars data pad, which is part of the PlayStation Parks app. Our characters that you'll meet, you might help them in real life. Can you help me? Our cruise director might ask for some help with a droid. And then later on, you might get a message from the cruise director saying, thanks so much for your help with SK-620. I wouldn't normally ask a passenger to do this, but I need you to do another thing. The first order's on my tail. I can't go down to the planet.
That does not sound like the kind of thing a cruise director should be asking a
passenger. No, it's, well, you know, she's
Star Wars stuff going on.
You know, and exactly, but she says that too in her message. I wouldn't normally ask a passenger to do this, but I really need your help. And so this connection from this person that you meet, this live person that you meet, the missions that you then get sent on, the way that you, the lens with which you get to enjoy Galaxy's Edge. Batuu, it's our shore excursion. Because it's a simulated cruise, you have a shore excursion. You're going to Batuu, and while you're on the planet, you experience things differently than if you've ever gone to that land before. And then when what you do on the planet has consequences back on the ship. So, you know, when you come back, if you went down to Batuu and you rode Rise of the Resistance, well, in the story of that, Rey sends you on a voyage to a secret resistance base. You get caught and you blow up a Star Destroyer. When you come back on the ship, that matters. The First Order knows that the passengers of the Halcyon have blown up a Star Destroyer and will blockade the ship.
Spoiler alert.
You're gonna, it's fine. But you know, and that, so the rest of your voyage actually has that impact because of the things that you did personally.
And one of the things that's been so interesting about that for me, we've had a few sort of test cruises where some passengers have come aboard and we've learned a lot from how they played. It's been really funny to me watching passengers, either families or groups, who will start out playing together and making the same choices and then gradually get sort of secretive about how they are responding to different characters and in their messages, and then they will actually wind up sort of diverging and going to different scenes. They'll interact, they'll be asked to do different things, and then watching at the end of sort of the culmination of all of it, coming back together and sort of doing the comparing notes of, okay, so I actually got to see this one thing. You sabotaged me, right? And sort of watching that sort of dynamic of family play has been fun. It's been really fun to see.
It's been actually pretty extraordinary, that sense of play, that not just from parents to kids or kids to kids, but from adult to adult too. It's really opened, it's really cracked open something, like a joy that I haven't personally, that I find very moving and I haven't seen in a while. So yeah, it's been great.
I do think the one of the things that makes this different, and why no one has done this before, is there is a significant amount of foundation under this, including technology foundation. We talked about the DataPad, which is part of the Play Disney Parks app, which is you actually use on your own mobile device. That brings Star Wars to life. If you've been to Galaxy's Edge, Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, you may know that the Play Disney Parks app can actually add a whole level and layer of experience to Galaxy's Edge. Well, we've taken that to the next step on the Galactic Star Cruiser experience, and that data pad now becomes a great way to keep in touch with characters. It informs you of your itinerary. It will keep you informed as your itinerary changes, because again, there's a lot of surprises and adventure that breaks out on board our Star Cruiser. Again, because it is a Star Wars story, it does not go according to plan. And all of that becomes available on your data pad to be able to kind of track that, understand what's going on, connect after you've had a conversation with a character, to connect with them and kind of have these individual
messages
back and forth.
Right.
And make choices.
So depending on what message you receive, who you've met, you can choose to lie to a character. You can help them. You can gain their trust. You can double cross folks, and you can really kind of sort of continue that relationship with them as you want your story to unfold.
Yeah. There's another thing that I think makes us unique and special and different from things that have been done before. And I'll use the Galaxy's Edge example again. You know, for those of you who may have visited Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, it's Black Spire Outpost, this remote outpost on the edge of wild space, kind of an exotic trading port. But it feels very, it has a very unique feeling to it. On the Halcyon Star Cruiser, we are entering a different aspect, a different look into the world of Star Wars, a more high-end, a more glamorous look with the Shangri-La Starlines flagship, the Halcyon. Doug, I'd like to ask you, what's it like to take this more glamorous, high-end look at the galaxy of Star Wars and bring that to life?
Yeah, no, it's actually been such a pleasure, because this is an experience that I've been waiting for since I was 15 years old, when I first saw Star Wars. And to bring it all to life, to bring it all to fruition, has just been an absolute treat for me. We touched on it, you know, for Galaxy's Edge, because that was the first time where we were trying to really create an experience where you can actually experience Star Wars in real life. Of course, I've been working in film design for over 25 years in Star Wars now. And the reality that we create in film is very different from this experience, because it's a guided experience. You know, it's all from the point of view of the filmmaker. Here, we actually have an opportunity to actually have the guests create their own story. What that means is then that we can now create in a very immersive design, very immersive environment,
that allow guests to do that. And Scott, we're actually bridging all the design aesthetics from the early days of the prequels all the way to the original trilogy and then possibly to the sequel trilogy. And what I mean by that is that when I was working with George back in the late 90s, we established the design sort of guideline, the philosophy that anchors all of Star Wars. And now for the first time, we're actually merging those two. So the Halcyon is one of the very first opportunities now where we're actually combining prequel aesthetics with the original trilogy aesthetics. If you look at the Blockade Runner, the Tan of Four, it has a very distinct shape, and that speaks directly to sort of the original trilogy. And what we've done is we've taken that form language and proportionally changed it, created and updated the material to bring in perhaps elements from Dreadnought Voss's yacht, and even elements from the Naboo sort of queen ship, you know, that elegant chrome. And by merging all those, what we're doing is we're creating a very cohesive timeline for all the designs. And what I really like is that it's bringing something new to Star Wars, because Star Wars needs that component where you have to update and sort of expand the universe. George created such a vast playground for us that we're barely touching on that. And the Halcyon, I think, is a wonderful opportunity for us to really expand on that further.
Yeah, and I like the idea that this high-end look, you know, higher-end, I'll say look, you know, lens through which we can see Star Wars. It's not just about the ship design and about the food, but one of the things that I love about it, especially as we've been doing these test audiences, is seeing our audiences show up in some of the finest galactic couture you can imagine. Brad, we've actually been working hard to make sure that that's easy for our guests to do and to immerse themselves into the story by basically dressing up and, you know, playing Star Wars with us. Can you talk a little bit about what our guests will be able to, you know, the Chandra collection and some of the fine merchandise that they're going to be able to buy to participate in the stories or to maybe take a piece of the story home with them?
I mean, I have to start by saying just working on product and merchandise for Star Wars is always such an honor and a pleasure, because almost no other franchise do you see the history of integrated merchandise shopping following along with the content and the stories the way you do in Star Wars, echoing all the way back to the very first film and the frenzy it caused at the holidays over toys and action figures. So this gave us yet another opportunity to tell a different part of the story, take a little look at the finer side of life in Star Wars and how we're seeing some live out their Star Wars in places like Cantobite and Dryden Voss's yacht. So a visit to the Chandra collection, our boutique, which is just off the atrium in the ship, really gives you a chance to extend that story that is uniquely yours. You'll see all types of galactic fashion. We really took inspiration from throughout the Star Wars galaxy. You'll see places where we actually went to Skywalker Ranch, went to the archives, looked at some of those pieces from the prequel trilogy. That's an example of something that Padme Amidala wore. We actually got to hold these pieces, get the patterns and prints, match the fabrics. Like, the authenticity is just so on point with these pieces. And then in addition to that, we really took a hard look at the story that was developing here with this team, and what are the experiences you would have on the ship? What are the moments where you want to dress up? And really, as you dive deeper into the story, how do you build up your character? What's your background? There are so many great storylines, characters, types, arcs that you see in the galaxy, and this is the chance for you to really establish yours. There's really something for everyone in your group, everyone in the family, lots of different looks. And the great thing about each look is that it's meant to be customized. So whether it's adding accessories, jewelry, handbags, there's different ways to wear the pieces that make them all unique and special. So I can't wait to invite everyone into that shop to really extend their story.
I think, and the thing that I love about it is, if you want to lean in and wear some of this galactic finery and cosplay, it's totally fine. But also, if you just want to sit back and kind of, you know, wearing your Star Wars t-shirt and drink a cocktail and watch the planets drift by, that's also okay. As Ann Morrow said earlier, all of this is an invitation to engage at whatever level you want to. I kind of like to say that this is an offering that we've designed for people who love Star Wars and people who love Star Wars. Right? So it's kind of like there's a little bit for everybody, because we know that not everybody wants to lean in the same amount and not everyone wants to play in the same way. So we've truly attempted to design an experience that kind of accommodate a whole bunch of different ranges of desire to play.
I've also seen, though, people show up and go,
I'm just gonna watch. I'm just gonna watch. And then by the end, they are in it so hard.
Those are the ones that are in it the most.
It's so crazy. Yeah, I mean, they really come with this sense of like, I don't do that. I'm not gonna dress up. It's fine. And it's fine. Again, we're totally fine with that. It's absolutely fine. But they really, like, something happens, I think, the minute, like, a scoundrel gets you in a corner in the lounge and has you, like, hack a thing for him. So.
But I do think at Disney, one of the things that we try to do well is to make our experiences a fun and a safe place to play. It's okay when you're in a Disney park to kind of wear a funny hat and to wear mouse ears, right? I think in the Galactic Star Cruiser, we're trying to make it safe and fun to play Star Wars. Now, Matt, you said something earlier about, Doug actually mentioned the stories and how these stories span all from George's original vision that we're still kind of living, you know, with that amazing legacy of storytelling. And the housing now that our Galactic Star Cruiser is now part of that storytelling. Can you talk a little bit about how does the Halcyon kind of weave itself into the overall fabric of Star Wars storytelling?
Sure. So, like you said, the Halcyon is now part of authentic Star Wars storytelling. It takes place, or our journey takes place between Episode 8, The Last Jedi, Episode 9, The Rise of Skywalker, and it kind of serves as sort of a middle point of that arc there. But, as Jerome mentioned, the Halcyon has a 275-year history, and obviously, in 275 years, there's a lot of really cool and really fun stories to tell, and we're fortunate in Star Wars that we kind of have vehicles to tell some of those stories. So we're starting to just kind of get into that now. We have the Halcyon Legacy comic series from Marvel Comics that's, oh wow, awesome. I agree. and it's clearly, it's a really fun series of sort of short stories that span the decades, centuries of Halcyon history and features some really cool guest stars. Anakin Skywalker, Padme Amidala have been on the ship, Lando Calrissian's been on the ship. We have a big kind of cross-publisher initiative called the High Republic that's happening right now. And within the High Republic, the Halcyon and its sister ships have actually played a central role in some of the storytelling there. And then just recently announced, we don't even have a final cover for it, we've got The Princess and the Scoundrel, where we see our favorite princess, Princess Leia, and our favorite scoundrel, Han Solo, actually celebrate their honeymoon following Return of the Jedi right on the Halcyon.
That might also be where some of our characters meet said princess.
It
is actually exciting to have these stories and the backstories and the rich history of the ship and its crew and its past adventures start to get out there in the world. Halcyon Legacy, the Marvel comic series, actually basically tells the story of the ship basically leading up to the day before we invite guests aboard. And the first issue that released 2 weeks ago. I know it's sold out across the country. Don't worry, a second printing is underway and will be available on March 16th. So for those of you who missed it, you've got another chance.
And available digitally if you just can't wait.
Yes. we've been talking about what makes us different, and I want to actually ask a more specific question, because we've worked on attraction concepts before, we've done other things, we've done immersive experiences before, but I don't think, at least speaking for me, I don't think that I've ever designed an immersive attraction experience that you sleep in. and what's that like? I mean, Jerome, tell us about the cabins aboard the ship.
The doors don't swing in or out, so that's like a big deal.
That is a big deal, and Doug can tell
me. I have a sliding door in Star Wars.
There's no swinging doors in Star Wars, and that, you know, these are the kinds of things. By the way, for all of you who want to know, this is the kind of detail that we sweat as we're bringing this to life. It's like, how do we actually create, you know, sliding doors that do all the things we want to do so it can be authentically Star Wars? It's harder than it might seem, but that's our problem, is to make all that stuff happen so it's visible and just seamless, organic Star Wars to everybody else. And Doug, I don't know, did you ever imagine that you'd be designing Star Wars experiences that people sleep in?
No, not at this level. And that's the big treat for me, is because when I go in there, I'm still like a kid. You know, I'm a huge fan as well. But you'll notice that a lot of details
are at the same fidelity that we treat our feature film. So it's a very authentic Star Wars. So looking at the cabin, if you look at all the moldings, all the trim details, even the fabrics and the materials, it is Star Wars. Those are the same materials and fabrics that we will use on our movie sets as well. And so you're really, in some ways, being transported, you know, fully into the Star Wars experience. And that's where, you know, the design challenge to design something like that, where everything is so immersive, where there's no tricks. Because obviously in our feature films, we can add a lot of enhancements with the visual effects. Here, the views that you see out the windows is real media that plays real time throughout the whole ship. So everything is synced together. And that's a huge undertaking to try to create this immersive experience. And likewise, you're allowed to go anywhere. You can look behind the door if you want to. You can go and discover hidden rooms. You know, and so in some ways, the ship itself is like one giant sort of movie set that is completely real in the sense that over the 2.5 days, the reality, the suspension of disbelief is never broken.
Yeah, your point about not being able to have any tricks like we can in films, not only that, it was a real learning experience for me, getting to know our operators and thinking through how passengers actually need to interact with the things that we have built for them and use them. So like in the cabin, for example, you know, having a table that actually pulls out from the wall, sort of airplane style, and can shove back in, or the air conditioning vents are actually like the same nozzles that you would see on a plane. So it vents the HVAC, but in a way that, you know, helps reinforce this feeling of you are on board a ship, as well as having, you know, all the rounded edges and curves ready for turbulence. Your bed is affixed to the wall, having the, you know, bunk beds that again are sort of notched in, not unlike what we've seen Chewie sleep in. And so thinking through how does it look right, and also how is it a usable space for guests to actually spend 2 days and two nights, you know, on board and living their adventure, has been a real learning.
We've also had some new terminology for some of this stuff, which is really fun. I do remember that the hair dryer in the room has a big sign that says thermal blower.
We sweat those details, people. We sweat those details.
Well, but along those lines, too, the passenger services team, right? The people who are actually like changing the linens in your room or bringing you a cocktail are immersed in this. They're on the voyage with you. I mean, Jerome, I don't know if you want to speak more to that.
Yeah, even to the point where we escort you to your cabin, just in case this is unusual to what you're used to in other experiences. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. So there's another person that I will say, I'm going to say another person that comes to mind when I think about the cabin, and that is D309, a logistics droid aboard the Halcyon, who actually appears, we're currently playtesting D309 as part of this experience, and she is one of our first initiatives in an AI-driven character experience. And so she appears on this droidling panel, a little kind of a little vid screen right there in your cabin, in everybody's cabin. And you can contact D3 if you want to, when you want to. You can call her up, have a conversation with her. She can tell you about things that are happening around the ship. She can fill you in on some of the rumors and the scuttlebutt that's happening around the ship as the story progresses. And she's a great character to interact with and always available in your cabin. Which I think is very cool. Not only is she a cool, it's behind the scenes, it's a very cool piece of technology in the story. She's just a really fun character to kind of chat with.
Because she's been on the ship forever, right? She knows all the history of the Halcyon, and she also really wants to hear from you about what's going on over the course of your journey. She's kind of learning the gossip from the passengers that she's interacting with, and as things befall you over the course of your journey, she may even need your help in some certain moments.
That's one of my favorite parts, is not only is she there to help you, but you know, at some point you might get to help her.
Yeah, I mean, the way we've talked about how this experience changes based on the choices you make and the affinities you choose and the invitations you choose to take up. But D3 as a character also learns and changes based on the conversations that you have with her. It's a very interesting way. Wendy was talking about these connections between characters, and I think that's something that's unique about this experience, is we're really trying to provide these opportunities for you to really feel like you're having real, meaningful connections to these characters. And I think it's not only true for our future passengers, but it's actually true for the characters as well.
Yeah, and the story is so interconnected, right? So D3 is gonna know that the ship got boarded by the First Order, and she's going to talk to you about it, and you're going to talk to her about it, and you might tell her if you're aligned with the First Order or not, and she's going to respond accordingly. So it is an experience that unfolds in multiple spaces at the same time. So again, there's no way that any one person is going to have the same experience twice, because you're just not going to be in the same place at the same time again.
So this sounds complex, and we talked about why this is different, but now I want to ask, how do we actually make this? Like, how do we actually develop this experience? Because we've been working on this for how long?
6.5 years.
Six and a half years. Basically, we started development of this project around the same time that we started development on Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. And we designed these to work together, as we have said, the stories that might start aboard your Halcyon Star Cruiser experience will follow you down to the land as part of your shore excursion to Black Spire Outpost. And what happens there, the way we integrate the attractions, the different lens that we give our Halcyon passengers to see those attraction experiences and other new experiences that we invite them to have on the land, and then have the results of those experiences, the results of those choices, follow you back up to the ship. As Wendy said, there's, you know, you may find yourself in a situation where you're stealing coaxium from the First Order, or maybe participating in the near total destruction of a Star Destroyer. Well, those are things that are going to get the First Order's attention, I'd assume. They're not going to be happy about that. The First Order, they're not patient. They're not tolerant. So when those things happen up aboard the ship, you're going to really kind of start to feel how all of these pieces kind of connect together and build into this woven story.
And there again, you're specifically invited back to continue your story, right? So depending on how you're playing, whether it is stealing coaxium or letting the First Order know that coaxium is being stolen, you will wind up in a secret meeting with, you know, either members of the First Order or the Resistance, or perhaps if you are interested in discovering some artifacts of Jedi lore on Batuu, that might lead to an entirely different set of choices. And there again, you'll have new moments populate on your itinerary, on your datapad, and have different engagements with the characters, and kind of see your story pay off in a really different way, which has been really exciting to see the different ways that guests have played on board.
Yeah, and I think it's also important to note that, like, we didn't know the end result of all of this until we started having passengers, right? That final element of the passenger coming, so excited for that to happen now, because that is really where this unfolds in their journeys and their voyages.
That's the thing I never really thought about until I was there on the ship and being a part of it. It's such a communal experience. It's something that you could only experience with a group of people, and watching not only guests interacting with characters, but guests interacting with other guests and making friendships and making alliances, and hopefully they're making friends that will last beyond just their voyage.
I think we've seen that happen already, where we know that some of our test passengers who didn't know each other have come away friends and are still continuing those connections. And I think that's also something that we're always trying to do in our Disney park experiences, is design these experiences to be shared. You typically come to our parks and resorts with friends or family or other people you want to spend time with, and we want to make that easy for you to do. We want to make that easy and rewarding for our guests to spend time with the people they care about and to provide experiences that allow them those moments to reflect and those moments to not just be looking outwards towards the experience, but looking inwards towards each other. And I think we've tried
to rat each other out.
That's a fine thing to do, to rat each other out. We've done it. We've totally done it. But that's a fun thing to do, because even if you're playing on different sides of this and you're keeping these secrets from each other, it's still super fun to come back together at the end of the day and compare notes and to have a conversation around, what did you do? What did you see? What did I do? What did I see? I think that's what part of this magic is about. It's really about the connection between the people who came to experience this together.
And I think too that there's a real magic in having a storyline that continues over two nights, right? Mm-hmm. You've got characters that persist and live their lives alongside you. You create relationships with them as well. It's really quite incredible to watch.
Yeah, and our passenger service agents, our crew aboard, do such a fantastic job of making that come to life with people. It's not just the Star Wars characters that you know, or maybe the Star Wars characters you've just met, but it's the entire crew of the ship that bring that to life in super meaningful and personal ways.
Yeah.
I want to ask Brian, Chef Brian, I want to ask you another question, because we talked a little bit about Galaxy's Edge, and Galaxy's Edge, at least, you know, again, I'm biased, but I think it has some amazing food and beverage offerings. But the ones aboard the Halcyon are very different. Can you tell us about the difference between those two styles of cuisine? And give us a little bit of a hint about what we can expect for our evening dinners there, because I think there's something pretty spectacular we're doing there.
Well, as you mentioned, Black Spire Outpost Batu is a little bit more of that kind of rustic, you know, type of environment. But the Halcyon is this really upscale cruise ship experience that it's a celebratory event. And, you know, when you go on a cruise ship, everybody wants to eat. Everybody wants to have great food and beverage. So this was such a great opportunity for us to really say, if we were in space, what would it look like? What could we do? What can we do? How much fun can we have with this? So the inspiration from the planets, the inspiration from all of the great characters, the entertainment, all of these amazing elements, we even took some design elements from the ship and incorporated those into some of the dining vessels that you'll have and that you'll eat from. A buffet area for breakfast and for lunch. You build your own dining experience with all of these unique and fun offerings. Familiar flavors that look extremely different. But then as you head into dinner, purposefully, very distinct dinner styles of service. Your first night, this incredible dinner show, if you will, with a character we really haven't even talked about yet, Gaia, who is absolutely amazing. You start off with these wonderful steamed, seared, protein-filled bao buns, different dipping sauces, three buns, four sauces. I know math is hard sometimes, but that's a lot of different combinations. But the whole idea, and it goes into the next course of your entrees, is you really have the ability to create your own dining experience. A little of this that you like, or maybe you don't like this, or I've never seen green rice before, but I really want to try it. And it's a safe environment to do that. So night one is super bold flavors, a lot of color, beautiful plated desserts, a ton of texture. Now night two is a completely different experience. It's this taste around the galaxy.
Definitely my favorite meal.
It's your favorite meal.
Absolutely.
So we have this this incredible dining experience where the chef comes out, talks about every single course, and really what inspired us to put this course together.
Well, and actually that's a really important point, that you've changed the style of expected service to be about what you would expect in a galaxy far, far away, right? So we have a presentation of, you know, these pre-selected different types of foods that curate the finest from around the galaxy, right? So you don't have to worry about what you're going to be eating. We've curated it for you, and we're giving you sort of a best of from all these different planets.
It's the dining greatest hits,
indeed,
if you will. So everything from a Mustafarian course with lava rock charcoal bread and spreads and dips to Felucian blue shrimp,
I think this is my favorite.
It's so good.
Yeah, this was a really fun dish to put together. And it plays so well into the story, so well into the planet. We just love it. It's probably my favorite.
This is where I knew y'all had gone really deep on this, because you're describing, yes, it's blue shrimp and Felucia and the colors and the whatever, but then, Doug, you'll appreciate this, we started getting into the texture of the cocktail sauce, because, you know, Felucia is all about sort of the gummies, it's sort of a gummy planet, and so making sure that even the cocktail sauce had a texture to it that felt of the correct planet. It's just like, oh, yes. This is great, that sense of ownership in the story.
So I will admit this, it's a little bit intimidating to be surrounded by these incredibly talented and very smart individuals, and I just cook. So when we put this in front of Ann Morrow and Scott for the first time,
And Scott got up out of his seat and started clapping and going giggling like this. And then you were giggling. I knew we nailed it.
You did nail it. I mean, you nailed it at Galaxy's Edge, but you raised the stakes here on the Galactic Star Cruiser. And I really appreciate
that is so good.
You may recognize that shape as the logo of Shangri-La Skylines, but that is one of the desserts.
It's like studio photography, but this is really what the food looks like when it comes out.
It really is. It's really stunning.
What I love, Chef Ryan, is the level of storytelling that Anne Mora alluded to, where the chefs, and we've had these conversations, kind of think about, well, okay, so how long would it be between pork stops? And so which fresh fruits would we have? And which jellied fruits would we have? Right?
Right.
That level of storytelling that goes into every aspect of this, including the menu choices and that you have made, it's amazing.
You just hit on a great point, Scott. Fresh fruit, dried fruits. We even have compressed fruits. Because when you're under pressure in space, that stuff happens, right?
It happens.
So it makes sense to me.
And once again, these are the details that we sweat to make it all seem kind of cool and authentic Star Wars.
It's been a lot of fun. I mean, space is delicious, let me tell you.
So what we've described is really this two-day, two-night, story-driven experience that allows you to have, as Wendy was saying, just more parts of this experience than anybody could experience on one single journey. And I know that we're not able to offer that two-day, two-night experience for all of you, but we have actually created a special experience for you because we want you to get a preview of this. We want you to kind of get a sense of what we're talking about and how it comes to life when you're actually aboard the ship. So I know that everybody here tomorrow was going to participate in a kind of a, I guess you could call it almost like a sampler platter, if we're going to stick with the food theme, a version of this. And I think it's important for us to explain a little bit about what you're going to experience, but also the parts that we're going to fill in for you, because you're not able to do the full two-day, two-night experience. As Wendy said, some of the moments are very small moments that happen maybe with just, you know, a couple of people in a space. And because of our compressed time, we're not going to do those things with you all tomorrow. But Wendy, what does our sampler platter experience look like?
Well, you'll get to do some of the experiences, right? You're all going to go to lightsaber training. You'll all get to do a bridge training. You will meet characters. You will engage with them. Well, you don't have to, but they will be there for you to engage with. You'll experience some of the storytelling elements that we're super proud of. And you'll experience some of the larger moments of action. It's almost like we put together a clip reel for you, but it's live. But it also means that we're going to be breaking our timeline, our own timeline sometimes, and jumping around a bit in space. So you will have people with you who will help explain where we are in the story. Hopefully it will be clear, but, you know, please feel free to ask if anything feels confusing. Because remember, we are unfolding this over a duration that you're not going to get to experience tomorrow. We did put together thoughtfully a package of experiences that we believe will make sense and flow together well, but they won't necessarily be in the order in which you would experience them on a normal voyage.
The other thing I'll say is we've been going out of our way to explain how, for our passengers, when we open, their choices will influence what they see, and we're going to take that responsibility off your shoulders and take it on ours to kind of curate these experiences. So we're actually going to we won't be using the data pad tomorrow. We won't be being quite so interactive, and we may actually in the experience actually just say, okay, you're going to have to pretend now that you're supporting the First Order. Now you're going to have to pretend that you're supporting the Resistance, so that we can kind of give this curated set of experiences to all of you.
Yeah, that's right, because, you know, a passenger experiencing the two-day, two-night experience would be able to truly respond to characters via messages on their data pad. They would get to make choices about which sections of their itinerary they're going to prioritize. For you tomorrow, if you've got sort of a fast-forward experience, we're going to just buzz you through time and assume that you've made some choices and allow you to see some pieces of the experience and some moments throughout the whole two-day journey as it goes through.
Yeah, we'll have people to walk you through this. We're going to guide you through this experience so that there are any questions, we can answer them. And, of course, we're happy to answer any questions later on that you have about that. I do want to ask a couple of things. I want to put you on the spot and ask you all,
what some of your favorite things about this experience are, or maybe some of the favorite things we've either built into it, or that you've seen from the experience with some of our test audiences. Maybe I'll start with Chef Brian. What's your?
Sure.
I know that you say you just cook. That is not true, people. Let me tell you, as a person who we. Around the Walt Disney Company, creativity comes in many, many, many different forms, and an amazing way that comes to life is through the food and beverage. By the way, we didn't even talk about the beverages. Mm-hmm. I need to talk about the beverages for a second, because the concoctions that you can get in the Sublight Lounge, or in our Crown of Corellia dining room, amazing concoctions. By the way, if you're looking for me aboard the ship, you'll probably find me in the Sublight Lounge. That's kind of where I like to hang out. But the Hoth Icebreaker, one of my favorites.
Yeah.
The little drop of the antidote that prevents it from taking effect. That's a super, super important one. Yeah, all of these concoctions have been, not only are they beautiful, but they're fun. They invite that kind of conversation we're looking for, where people can come together to kind of like talk about the experience they're having. Here is the Sublight Lounge and our hollow Sabacc table. If you're a fan of the Star Wars card game Sabacc, this is a great way to kind of like learn that card game and to kind of play it with some friends in this holographic version of it. It's super fun, super popular. The question I want to ask you is, what's some of the things you've seen aboard the ship that, you know, that we've ever built, that we've built into the experience, or that you've seen people have as part of their experience that you would call out as a favorite?
I think being able to see our passengers' reaction to the food, where they almost let their guard down a little bit and they say, I'm really gonna play hard. I would never think of eating black bread or a blue shrimp or egg worms, but I'm gonna do it today because I'm in story and it's really cool. And I trust everybody. I trust the Walt Disney Company and I know they're doing it right. And just to see that level of excitement and that level of play, and it's something we really never get to experience as chefs. So to be out there and to see all that come to life, it's exciting.
Yeah. And by the way, for those who are less adventurous with their palate, we have offerings for everybody. So if you're not, if the idea of Felucia blue shrimp doesn't appeal to you, by the way, it's delicious. You should try it. We have offer all kinds of offerings for all kinds of palates aboard the ship. Matt, what about you? What have you've spent some time here recently?
I have. I mean, I'm sad because I'm not on the ship right now. I've reached that point. I just want to move in. But I will tell. Actually, I told you this story backstage, but I'm going to tell it again here, which is I had an amazing experience that just happened aboard the ship last night, where I just needed to decompress a little bit, you know, toward the end of the night, went to the climate simulator, I was back there by myself for a couple seconds, and one of the characters came in, and he was having some romance problems, and he unwittingly came to me for advice, and in the fictitious world of Star Wars, that wasn't a bad idea, and, you know, I was able to have, you know, a 5-minute in-depth conversation with him just by happenstance, because we just happened to be alone in there, and I think I steered him the right way. It seemed to work out in the end, but hopefully I should take my own advice in the real world, I guess.
That's great. Brad, what about you?
From an experience perspective, I have to say that taking the test cruise with my family, specifically my middle school age girls, it changed my perspective on what my favorite things were, and there was this almost intangible moment where we got, I think the cruise director brought us down to the engineering room, we had a mission to do, and we all just dove in and were having so much fun with it, and at the end of it, I was like, oh my God, we just like played together nonstop, and it was, we don't get that kind of time, and that was just very special and unique, and that also connects back to some of my favorite merchandise actually evolved as I watched my kids interact in the ship, because we went into the boutique, into the Shangri-La collection, and one of my girls said, that's Sammy's costume, and the daughter that said, oh, I really like that captain, can I get that hat? I had one daughter that specifically, you were showing the hollow Sabacc table. We went down one night, she goes, you want to play Sabacc? I said, sure. It's the second night. We get down there, she sits down at the table, and all the other people around the table was like, not her again. And I was like, Victoria, have you been playing Sabacc? And she's like, I kind of run the table last week. And all of a sudden, the Sabacc set that we sold in the the boutique, like, that could be my favorite item. But I have to be, there it is right there. I have to be really honest. We've heard, I think, Wendy and Emro just mention this, but you're going to get to go to some saber training. Yeah. So one of my favorite things that we got to develop for the store itself was the training lightsaber that you're going to use. And this is, you know, as someone who's developed a lot of Star Wars merchandise through the years, new lightsabers are an epic thing. Like, that's so important.
And this is a brand new kind of lightsaber in the galaxy, right?
Brand new kind of lightsaber, never seen before, and the fact that you're going to go through training, and it sounds like most of you, you will tomorrow, to hold this, you train with it, the shield behind you is a whole new way to play in Star Wars. So to bring these to life, and if you're familiar with the Legacy Collection that we have at DOCS, it's a similar level of execution and detail, and there's a unique piece to this that came out years ago now, very early on, but the ability to personalize it. It comes with a whole alphabet of Arabic letters. You can put your initial or a letter that means something to you or means something to your experience right on the lightsaber, and that takes place in the Legacy, and we also have a version for kids, and I think making lightsabers, I don't know if you remember this side story, when we were doing Saavees, we worked so hard on all the designs for all the parts, and at one point we sent them up to you, and you wrote back and said, not this, but these are approved. And I was like, we have lightsabers. We've approved lightsabers. And this is a similar moment. You know how impactful this is to our fans and our guests that love our lightsabers.
Doug, you've been designing Star Wars for a long time. Is there a favorite part of this? You've been designing ships for a long time. Is there a favorite part of this ship that you particularly like?
Yeah, no, honestly, it's everything, but because I'm a visual eye candy kind of a guy, I have to say the bridge, when it goes into hyperspace, is unreal.
Yeah, it is a lot of fun. Jerome, you've seen so many people come through the Star Cruiser so far. You've had a lot of moments with our passengers that I think stand out to you.
Yeah, I think I have a little different twist on mine. There's this thing that can't be broken now that I've discovered. And, you know, we don't talk about service. Service is almost a task, right? Can we take this and give it to our passengers and then we can pick it up and clean it up? We talk about developing relationships with our passengers. And even in this short cruise, we've created this unbroken wheel, because as we develop relationships and we're providing service, we get it back. And so we're seeing so many comments come back about all of our crew, from housekeeping and the small touches in the cabin to the relationships built with X, Y, or Z, whatever their name is, that taught me Sabacc, that knew my daughter was in the seventh grade and that we don't even know how she knew that, or we can't believe this just appeared in our cabin, or, you know, on dinner on night two, I went and my drink was there already, and how did you all know that? And so it's this thing that we give to our passengers and they give back to us that I can't wait until opening, because that's what I've discovered that really, it moves me emotionally.
It truly is magical. Yeah. Wendy, we shared a bunch of stories about things we've seen aboard the ship. Anything stand out or favorite moments for you?
Oh, there's so many. there really are. I think one of them for me, what happened last night as well, there were actually two kids who were wearing a Femi, a mechanic's jumpsuit, one of the ones that we sell in the merchandise. I hadn't seen any children cosplaying as our characters before. And
Sammy is a character you'll meet tomorrow. He is our ship's mechanic.
Ish. Yeah.
Maybe. Maybe some other.
But yeah, and having two children dressed up as Sammy, following Sammy around, I busted into tears because I was just so excited for them.
Yeah. And Mauro, 6.5 years.
My
whole life.
Yeah, but it actually really is watching the way guests engage with the characters, with the ship, and each other. In two test cruises ago, there was this 8-year-old girl who was dragging her family around, you know, mashing on ship consoles, getting ready, and bossing Chewbacca around about how we were going to successfully get him off the ship and he was going to be safe. And just this moment of watching her parents dive in, right? Like, yes, we are going to help get Chewbacca off the ship, we're all in. And just watching people give themselves permission to play and learn from their kids, who are just better at it. And finding ways to really live our stories.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's probably for me one of my favorite things too is watching friends and family play together and feeling okay about it and kind of feeling that sense of joy that comes from just being willing to play. And we kind of put it inside the context of a Star Wars story, which just takes it to a whole other level. Can't wait to share this all with all of you tomorrow. And hopefully you'll see it. You'll get it through this sampler platter. You'll see a sense of what this is when we bring it to life when we open. And whether you decide to support the First Order or maybe support the Resistance or maybe the Smugglers from the Underworld, can't wait to share this with you all tomorrow.
May the stars light your way.
May the stars light your way. Thank you very much.
Good journey to you all. Have a great night.
Have a great night.
Good night.
Wow, was that a lot of information. Okay, guys, let us know what you thought stood out. Are you going to be going to the Halcyon? Are you going to be saving those pennies? Or do you think you're just going to skip this event? Let us know. Send us an email. Hey, Jimmy, tell everybody how to get in touch with the show.
You can email us at questions@thedisneynerdspodcast.com and email us individually at ed@thedisneynerdspodcast.com, jimmy@thedisneynerdspodcast.com, etc. You can send us a message on Facebook to the page, The Disney Nerds Podcast. Join our group, Disney Nerds, Instagram @thedisneynerdspodcast, and Twitter @thedisneynerds. Make sure to check out the website, www.thedisneynerdspodcast.com, and watch the live stream every Tuesday night at 9 o'clock Walt Disney World time.
Okay, guys. So that's it for show number 425 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. This is Ed. I hope you enjoyed the show, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.